There is no doubt that the use of artificial intelligence has become a prominent aspect in global business operations in the past decade. However, there is a concern for those about to finish and recently finished their university degrees with how they're going to enter an AI-centric workforce. It's a question of whether or not they have the skills that are not only irreplaceable by AI, but also the skills to work alongside it. James Bale asked Associate Professor Sarah Bankins of the Department of Management at Macquarie University what are some of the ways that companies are currently utilising AI.
To help us create material, whether it might be presentations or help us to construct short form text or longer form text, help us to come up with ideas, help us to sense check ideas that we have. It's also useful getting huge amounts of data, so finding patterns in the data, for example, helping us to find themes or draw insights. The sectors that it's being used in, AI technologies are being used in, are also really wide. So from healthcare, helping with diagnoses of patient issues, through to education, through to finance, banking, just a whole range of sectors can be using these technologies. They're exciting to understand and talk about, but we also need to be really mindful of the risks that can come with that when we're deploying them at scale. And so the things we need to think about to make sure that we're using them well.
Hypothetically, what are some of the ways that a company would regulate its AI usage to ensure that their human employees are of the top priority?
If we think about the country level, so different countries take different approaches to how they might formally regulate the use of AI. So one example of part of the world that's a bit more assertive on this front is in Europe. So Europe has an AI Act which sets out with some degree of detail how organisations should be engaging with their use of AI, particularly in what we might call high-risk use cases. So, for example, where AI is being used, where it might have an impact on people's lives or livelihoods. But organisationally, so, for example, in this country, we have the federal government has AI ethics guidelines, which can help organisations with that kind of question, like how can we ethically and how can we appropriately use these technologies alongside our workers. And so I think one of the things that organisations can do on that front is actually to think about and put at the forefront of their thinking, how will our use of AI, how is that going to impact our people and what they're going to do? Generally, any kind of technology, whether it's AI or other types, it can impact work in a few ways. It can replace certain things that humans might have done, so it can replace often its tasks, not necessarily whole jobs. It can complement us, so it can help us to do things better. It can help us to do our jobs better, get new insights. It can help to do really routine, boring stuff. It can do that kind of work. And it can also help us to create new forms of work and maybe sometimes even new occupations and wholly new jobs. If their focus is on cost reduction, and it means they might have an automation focus, which is about replacement predominantly, that can often lead to not great outcomes for their workers because it might mean some are displaced. It might mean some lose parts of their jobs that are really interesting and important and meaningful to them. If an organization says, actually, our focus in using any kind of technology is we want it to help our people, we want it to make their experiences of work better, then that's more that complementarity, new task generation pathways.
One of the common uses of AI is in the hiring and recruitment sector for whatever company it is. What are some of the downsides or problematic issues that would arise from using AI?
In sort of recent years, we've seen some high-profile cases of organisations using AI in the recruitment part, so where they might be scanning through CVs to shortlist candidates. And one of the things with these technologies is they're only kind of as good as the data that underpins them and how they're built. The data has not been great. So the data has been biased in some way. So some of these high-profile cases were where there were discriminatory outcomes based on gender. If you think about recruitment, it's often a high-touch, high-human contact process. People aren't given the opportunity to engage with a human, with a person, as they're going through recruitment. And it can lead to those feelings of being dehumanized. It also means that people can not get a great sense of what it might be like to work in an organisation.
In school and university, the usage of ChatGPT to write essays and do other assignments is currently banned. Should there be a different approach? Should schools and universities adapt their curriculum to adjust to an AI-centric workplace?
I think when technologies like ChatGPT first came out, we did see some examples of knee-jerk reactions, right, of, wow, this is a really powerful tool. You know, what does this actually mean for education and students' learning? I think there's increasingly using these technologies more and they're just more and more accessible. we've had to ask ourselves, educational institutions and educators have had to ask ourselves the question, okay, we realistically can't stop people from utilising it. So I think we're moving now towards how do we, as you say, how do we integrate this into our learning for students in ways that are helping students understand how to use it appropriately and critically and ethically while still supporting their learnings. And we are seeing some educational institutions start to move that way, sort of having, for example, some assessment pieces where AI, it's okay to use it, but use it in a guided way. So knowing where it's important to still activate our human judgment alongside using these kinds of AI tools in some way.
Associate Professor Sarah Bankins from Macquarie University speaking there with James Bale.